Lunch Break Lounge here on Indy's Giant 90.9. Glad to have you here on a Friday. The IU Hoosiers got the opening win over Chicago State, 104-55. And joining us now from the Assembly Call, Jared Morris. Jared, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining the show. Obviously, IU getting the big win as expected in the home opener against Chicago State. They get Montana State coming up later on this evening. But kind of take me through what you saw in that Chicago State game. Obviously, you know, you can't measure some certain things against these mid-major opponents, but there are some other things that you are be able to measure. So what did you kind of look for in that Chicago State game last Tuesday?
Yeah, you're right. It's always hard to assess those games because the competition level of it, you know, just isn't very good. And we've seen guys come out in games like that before and just have these, you know, huge games and, you know, not do anything else for the rest of the season. So you've always got to be a little bit careful. You don't want to jump to any conclusions. But I thought, obviously, the thing that really jumped out in the first half was Romeo Langford's just wide-ranging offensive game. You know, and you know, you got the feeling he could probably, you know, go and score 40 points in that game. But it was nice to just be able to see it in the cream of crimson for the first time, all the different ways that he can attack the basket, that he can score. I mean, just his incredible athleticism. So that was nice to just be able to see for the first time. You know, I think as I reflect on that game, and I thought this while I watched it too, defensively, I didn't think Indiana was all that great. They were okay in spurts. And obviously, they, you know, they got a lot of steals, and they were able to turn defense into offense. But, you know, Archie Miller was clear in his post-game press conference that he wasn't happy with the defense. And, you know, I thought, you know, even guys like Juwan Morgan, who's a senior and you expect a lot out of, I thought he was pretty poor defensively. So, you know, some of those defensive habits that you want to see, even in games like that, you know, they weren't really there. And so I think it would be really interesting to see in this Montana State game tonight, if the team comes out with, you know, kind of a renewed intensity on the defensive end, you know, kind of in response to being challenged by the coach. You know, so that was probably one of the negatives, one of the drawbacks. But, you know, other than that, I thought a lot of guys had, you know, solid individual performances, you know, some decent shooting from a few guys. It was nice to see Zach McRoberts step up and knock down a couple of threes. So, you know, all in all, you know, obviously you win by 49 points, you know, a good first night out for a team that clearly is very talented, has a lot of really good individual pieces, but is still trying to find the cohesion on offense and still trying to find the consistency on defense that they're going to need against the better teams on the schedule.
Well, certainly. And I was actually in attendance down at Bloomington on Tuesday for the home opener. And, you know, I kind of picked up, and it picked up in the second half, the free throw shooting, I thought picked up in the second half. And, you know, every time the Hoosiers went to the line in the first half, and, you know, they were 55% in the first half, you know, it was just kind of everybody in Assembly Hall was just kind of like, oh, you know, every time that they missed. So I thought free throw shooting was something that we should expect to see, you know, improve maybe coming up later tonight.
Gosh, I sure hope so. I mean, it was an issue all season last year and cost Indiana games last year. And that performance against Chicago State was even worse than Indiana's season-long performance last year. So you don't want to get too concerned about it. But coming off of what we saw last year, it's natural for Indiana fans to, you know, to kind of cringe at that. So, yeah, I definitely hope we see that improve because, you know, one of the big focuses for this team and one of its strengths is going to be attacking the basket and getting fouled. And there are benefits to getting fouled, whether you make the free throws or not, because you get the other team in foul trouble and all that stuff. But, boy, you sure would like to be able to capitalize on those opportunities to get those points. And if that's going to be a big focus for Indiana, then they really need to pair that with, you know, at least solid free throw shooting. I mean, maybe they don't need to be elite, but at least solid, you know, get up to that 70% mark. And so hopefully we see some signs of a turnaround in that area tonight.
And Jared Morris joining us on the WBDG Hotline. Evan Fitzner, the graduate transfer, had 14, a double-digit score off the bench for the Hoosiers. You know, how do you expect the Hoosiers to utilize him and his role as a Hoosier in, as we get into the season here?
Well, I think the biggest skill, the biggest single skill that he brings to the table is shooting. He's a guy who in 3 years at St. Mary's with a, you know, a decent volume shot 40-plus percent from downtown. So that's big, especially for a team coming off its worst three-point shooting season in school history. So, that's really going to be helpful. And he's going to be a guy who can space the floor, you know, and do some of those things. I think he's talked about wanting to be able to put more and kind of show off more of those skills. And I think in certain matchups, he'll be able to do that. In certain matchups, you know, with teams that can really defend the post well, maybe he won't. He'll be more of a shooter. But I think he's going to provide a ton of value on the offensive end as a guy who can stand out, space the floor, and knock down shots. Because, you know, guys like Romeo and Robert Finney and Devontae Green and others are going to be able to get in the lane, you know, draw that defense and give him opportunities to make those. And so, you know, if he can do that and then on the other end just be solid defensively and be the good defensive rebounder that he's been his whole career, you know, he'll be a guy, you know, the obvious comparisons are Max Bielfeld, and there are differences there. But, you know, you talk about a guy who's, you know, kind of has some experience, who's a senior, who's going to bring, you know, to just a maturity to the game. You know, some of those comparisons are apt. And so, but the biggest thing for him, his biggest thing is just to go out there and knock down outside shots. And so far he's done nothing to show that he won't be ready to be that guy.
I wanted to ask you about Deron Davis. He had 4 points and 2 rebs coming out on Tuesday. Obviously, he battled injury last year, but... you know, do you think Deron Davis has, you know, nowhere to go but up as the season progresses?
Yeah, I think it's definitely nowhere to go but up. You know, I think he's not moving all that well, obviously. You know, he's almost back to his freshman level, you know, kind of athletic ability, maybe less than that, just in terms of his quickness and his lifts off the ground and those kinds of things. But that said, you know, you understand that coming back from the injury he's coming back from. I've been really impressed with how hard he's played. You know, that to me is probably the biggest thing. Like, it really seems like his attitude is really good. You know, that when he gets out there and gets his time, he is really going hard and maybe even, you know, to a certain extent compensating for what he knows is his compromised athletic ability by just trying to get there a little bit faster and play harder. And that's a double-edged sword because, you know, while he's trying to get his balance back and get his timing back, that's going to lead to him picking up fouls if he gets off balance. But it's still great to see him just going out there and playing really hard. And then, you know, his footwork still looks good down low. So, you know, him especially, it's hard to gauge in a game like Chicago State and a game like Montana State because they just don't have the big guys who are going to be able to defend him. And you kind of feel like you could just dump it down to him and get two anytime you wanted. That won't be the case against some of the better teams on Indiana's schedule. And so, we'll have to see how what he's been able to do in some of these games translates into those games. But I am encouraged that if he keeps progressing and gets into shape and gets some of his timing back, that he's going to be a guy that come Big Ten season can give you, you know, 10 to 15, maybe a little bit more really solid minutes and provide the opponent with just a different look offensively because what he can do is so unique, not just on Indiana, but really in college basketball, because you just don't see that many of those back-to-basket type post guys. So he's going to have to play in the right lineups, and obviously Indiana's going to have to mask some of his, you know, defensive deficiencies movement-wise, but I've been encouraged that he's still going to be able to be an important factor for this team this year.
Well, certainly, and, you know, we got the news this week that Trace Jackson Davis from Center Grove and obviously, me being here at Ben Davis, we'll get to see Trace Jackson Davis during the boys' games this year. He's decided to make his announcement in April on deciding where he's going to play at the next level. Do you think that bodes in IU's favor, and what have you seen out of Trace Jackson Davis and his potential as a Hoosier?
I mean, I don't think his announcement this week is probably the best sign for Indiana, only because the perception has been that he is a heavy, heavy, heavy lean to Indiana, and that if he were to make the decision today, that Indiana would be the choice. And clearly the other schools recruiting him, Michigan State, UCLA, you know, were able to kind of help convince him to push that timetable back. Now, I don't think that necessarily means that he's not going to pick Indiana. I just think it means that he's being smart, and whoever's advising him is being smart and telling him to take his time because there's no reason to choose right now. The scholarship offer from all three schools will be there in January, it'll be there in April, whenever he wants to make his decision. So take some time, you know, find out more information, see what Indiana looks like under Archie Miller in another season. I think it's really smart for him. So, you know, I don't know. I don't talk to him. Everything that I've read about this is just, you know, kind of second or third-hand stuff from the guys that do really good work covering recruiting. But it still seems like Indiana's in a fine position. Just a little bit disappointing, I guess, from the Indiana perspective that he wasn't ready to commit right away, but that's easy for fans to look at and be disappointed by, but this is a, you know, probably the most important decision he's made to in his life so far. So I applaud him for doing what he feels he needs to do to be comfortable making the right one. That's exactly what he should do.
Well, certainly. Jared Morris joins us, the WBDG hotline. You know, last question here. This is the last game against the mid-major opponent, Montana State, coming up later this evening. And then you get Marquette, and then you travel to Arkansas. So Marquette will be the first big measuring stick for the Hoosiers on next Wednesday. So what do you expect to see out of them in their first kind of big test, I guess you should say?
It's a good question. I mean, I'm curious to see what we'll see. I expect that Indiana will play well, because I think you're going to go into that game, and obviously Marquette has they're a good team, and they've got an outstanding player in Marcus Howard, an experienced guard who can really fill it up from outside. And so Indiana's perimeter defense and their closeouts and their rotations are going to have to be really good to make sure that, you know, Marquette's going to make some threes. They're one of the best in the country at it, but you've got to try to limit some of the damage and make those attempts as difficult as possible. So, but, you know, Indiana counters that with, I think, probably the best overall talent on the floor in Romeo Langford, and a guy in Juwan Morgan, who's probably the most, you know, versatile player and can do the most things on the court. And I think that's where, when you start to look at some of these matchups against better teams, you know, Indiana's going to enter, you know, most nights with, you know, certainly the best duo on the court most nights, and oftentimes the two best players. So often in basketball, when you have that advantage, you've got a really big, significant advantage. So, you know, we're going to need more from Juwan than we got in that Chicago State game, but I'm more than willing to be patient with him, you know, given that he's a senior and that wasn't exactly the most high-stakes game. But I think that'll be a really big game for him to kind of lead the way, because it's a big atmosphere. It's a team in Marquette that is good on the perimeter but hasn't been very good down low, so he should have opportunities to dominate in the ways that we saw him dominate last year. Anytime Indiana's playing at home with what you expect to be a good atmosphere, you feel good about it. But the only unease is just this is still a team trying to find itself, a lot of new pieces, all of that stuff. But, you know, the majority of teams around the country are kind of feeling that way this early in the season.
Well, certainly. Well, Jared, thanks for joining the show. Tell the fans out there where they can find you in the Assembly Call.
Yeah, assemblycall.com. All of our content is available there, and we go live immediately following every game. So if you watch the game and want more IU basketball talk right after it, then come join us, and we'll break the game down for you.
Well, certainly. Well, Jared, thanks for joining the show, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.